desire your prayers this morning. What I have on my heart may be a little bit different, but it's the truth. And what I mean a little bit different is, if you had told me that I was going to preach this message in this meeting, I'd have told you no. But the Lord, after I got through, the one I had the other night, I'd carried for days. So I got to saying, "Lord, you got anything else? What's next? Whatever." And he began to lay this on my heart. And it goes pretty well with what's been said this morning. And I've been one that has been telling the body of the people of God for years that we're too quiet. And we need to praise more. And seemed like it goes in one ear and out the other and don't land in the middle very much. But this is a message on Thanksgiving. And I think we need to be very thankful as a body of God, because he gives us everything we've got. All the way from our being, and what I mean being born, our lives, everything we own, our personalities, and everything about us comes from God. And we like to be thanked as a people. I believe it's the Lord's, well, I just think it's as a people, if you do something for somebody, it's nice to have a thank you. And I go around and in malls and different places, and I'll see people working, mainly in the janitor work, since I've done it for so many years, and I'll say, "Thank you for what you're doing." Do you know there's a lot of things that are very thankless? Janitor work, you don't get very many people thanking you for janitor work. I tell you something else that'd be a kind of a thankless job, and that's a minister. I preached a message one time down in the South, a place called LaRange, Louisiana, and over here on my right is a brother that was pastor there. And I got on some things about, you know, telling our ministers we love them, we appreciate them, we're glad they're here, and so forth. And got through, and they ended the service, and I was about the last one out. And Brother Ed told me, said, "Well," said, "it'd be nice if you come through here and preach that about every 6 months." And it's true. We don't thank one another enough. But how much do we thank God? All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. Again, I desire your prayers this morning. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now then, this just absolutely tells what our nation is, what our world is. These words right here fit our people. Now, I'm not talking about the church, but I'm talking about the world itself. It fits because everything in here nearly is being done right now. There's people that are very covetous. There's a lot of boasters out there. There's a lot of proud people and blasphemers and disobedient to parents. And there's a lot of unthankful people out there. So Lord, help us this morning. If the world is that bad, we ought to be doing just the opposite. We ought to be a thankful body of people. All right, let's go to Psalms 95 and 1. Psalms 95 and 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So this morning, when you and I come together, one of the first things we do in service is sing. We sing as a body. That kind of gets things opened up and gets going and is a blessing and an encouragement and strength. But in our singing, how many of us praise God during the psalm service? How many of us raise our hand? How many of us say, thank you, Lord, that I can be here? Listen, folks, we could be in the mulligrubs of sin today. We could be in a depth that we can't hardly fathom, but God has saved us, raised us up, put us on a solid rock, and done things that nobody else has done for you and I. Listen, I'm here because of God. I'm saved, sanctified, satisfied, and if it wasn't for him, I got news for you, I wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't either. I don't care if you've been saved 50 or 60 or 70 years. There's a lot of people right this morning would be down in the mulligrubs of sin, would be wallowing in the pig pen, but Jesus brought us up and out and done something for us. Lord, help us to be thankful and to sing and to praise God. Thank you, Lord. The rock of our salvation. Thank the Lord there's something solid that we can stand on. And he's a rock. He's a solid rock. And he's not going to be moved. He's the only thing that's going to go all through the time. And at the end of time, he's going to be there for you and I to just step right up into eternity and be there the next time with him. Thank the Lord for a solid rock. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of gods out there. But we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hand formed the dry land. Now, I have been privileged to do a lot of traveling. I've been in all 50 states, Canada, Old Mexico, Puerto Rico. I've been to Hawaii and I've been to Alaska. I've seen some beautiful places. And I thank God. And I look out on these things and I look at them and I say, praise God. I'm able to look at something so beautiful. Now then, one of the majestic things, one of them that I've seen in a way, is the whales in the ocean. How many of you have ever seen the whales in the ocean? I took a cruise boat of about 150 people out of Seward, Alaska. And when I was setting all this up, I had a good friend that I was talking to, and he kind of helped me do some things, plan some things. And I've done that, and I really appreciate what he done. But I got out there, and I thought, are we going to see any whales? So I said something to, they had a captain, and one, two, and about three or four more people helping on this boat. And so I kind of got to talking to some of them to get acquainted with them, so to speak, and ask questions and everything. And I said, do you think we're going to see whales today? It's a beautiful day. And they said, well, I don't know. I said, we think they've already left to go. I thought, well, they ain't going to get to see no whales. And about that time, the captain, which was a little lady about this tall, slim, and I'm going to tell you, she was a good captain. And she kept us telling us what's what and where's where. And all of a sudden, she said, look, said, you'll see a fin just above the water. Said, what's that fin? And we got to looking, and there was oracle whales out there, and they were swimming through the water. Pods of them, and pods mean several. Maybe even some little ones. We couldn't tell totally. But that thrilled my heart. Listen, folks, thank God for the privilege of being able to see and do things that I'd never do probably otherwise. Well, then we saw the big boys. That's what I call them. I can't think what they're called. The ones that flip their tails up when they dive down. And you know what a challenge was to me? I had my camera and I was trying to shoot a picture of these whales. And do you know how big the ocean gets when you're trying to shoot a picture of a whale? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't hardly find them. So I didn't know if I'd got any good, real good shots of it till I was at the Mitchell's house in Missouri, and they took my camera, my deal, plug-in deal, and they put it in their deal and shown it, and I got some wonderful pictures of those whales. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that could be counted a big thing, but listen, folks, Jesus does a lot of little things for us, too. Amen. He does a lot of little tiny things, and we may not even really realize the depths of what he does. And that's the reason when I start praising God and when I start praying to God, I start thanking him the first thing. That's some of the first things I do is start thanking him. Let's go to 92 of Psalms and let's read here right quick. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now listen to what this said. Now this is the word of God. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name of the Most High, to shew forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, has made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. O brutish man, knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand this. Now I said it is a good thing. Now thanksgiving, and a definition of it, is an acknowledging and confessing with gladness the benefits and mercies which God bestows, either upon ourselves or others. Now good. Said it is a good thing. What's the word good mean? Proper, fit, useful, and expedient. Proper means suitable, correct, and just. So it is a proper thing. It is a good thing to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord, to give him things, the things that he deserves. Listen, folks, if I never got any thanks, would be one thing, but for me to deny thanks to God, something else. He's the creator. He's the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is everything. And it said it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises. Sing praises unto thy name of the Most High. Now we was in a service, and I'm not going to say where. Don't want to embarrass anybody. It wasn't here though. I'll say that, wasn't here. And anyway, a brother from here was down there in that service, and I don't know why we both were there, but we were. And he said, listen, he said, folks, he said, we need to do better than have a hangdog look. Evidently, everybody looked like they were down and out and discouraged and all of this. Well, get your heads up, folks. You're saved. You're sanctified. You've got blessings. You've got things to praise God about. Let's not have a hangdog look. Let's get our eyes up and our mouths open and praise God and sing the clouds away. Praise the clouds away. Don't just stand there and say, I'm having a bad day. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to get our heads up. All right, let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter, about the 12th verse. Thanksgiving. Just how thankful are we this morning? Now, I'm driving to a point, and I usually do. And I'm driving to a point. You just stay with me, and I'll get there in a little bit. It said 17 and 2 of the good book of, no, 17 and 12, excuse me, 17 and 12 of the good book of Luke. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go shew thyselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said to him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, this morning, leprosy back there, and still is a very dreaded thing to have. And these men were in trouble. These people were in trouble. And the Lord had mercy and healed them, but only one turned around and thanked him for it. Could we be one of the 10? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be one. That one that turned around and thanked him. Listen, folks, how deep were you in sin? I was not that bad a person. I ain't bragging when I say that. But I was not a bad person. But the bottom line was I was unsaved. I was headed to hell. And I was going to get myself into some stuff. If he hadn't saved me and delivered me, I don't know where I'd be today. I know where I wanted to be, but I don't know if I'd have made it. But the bottom line is today, he saved me from things. Listen today, he saves people out, delivers, brings them up, does things for them that nobody else could do. There have been people tried to stop smoking and couldn't quit. There have been people tried to stop drinking and couldn't quit. There have been people tried to have drugs and they couldn't quit. And listen, when they come to Jesus, he delivered them, broke that power, and set them and give them something that they never had before. Listen, thank God for what he done. Praise God. Amen. This man was in trouble and he turned around and thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Samaritan and Jesus, well, not Jesus so much, but the Jews, I believe they didn't have much to do with one another. But the Lord saved him no matter who he was. Listen today, Jesus is still saving today, and Jesus wants us to go back. And I start my praying off in the morning. The first thing I do is start thanking God. I thank him for salvation. I've thanked him for over 50 years now. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. He never gets tired of hearing that. You and I should never get tired of saying that because of what he does for us, praise God. He's a wonderful, kind, gentle, loving Savior. He has blessed us over and over as a body. He has answered prayer and delivered people and done things that we couldn't have done had done any other way. And Jesus done things for us. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Amen. Some people come out of a deep pit, and I have no idea what it's like. You say, well, they ought to be praising. Amen. They ought to be thanking. Yeah. You and I, no matter how deep or how little we come out of, we need to thank God. Amen. We need to thank him for salvation, sanctification. We need to thank him for the healings that he's given us. We need to thank him for his mercy and his love and his pity and his compassion. There's so much we need to thank him for. Listen, to be honest with you, if we started thanking him, if there's so much he's done, we would really not have a place to stop. Amen? You think about it. Listen, we're here because of him. And you may get tired of me saying that this morning, but it's a bottom fact. Jesus has brought us out. I've had people that have stood up right here in this congregation when I was pastor and said, Jesus brought me here. And they led me and they guided me out of Babylon and they brought me to the truth. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Yes, amen. Praise God for that. Thank the Lord for that. Oh, this morning, are we thankful enough, folks? Are we thankful enough? All right, let's go to Romans 1 and 8. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, I want to read a translation on this. Are we thankful for the saints as much as we ought to be? Do we let them know that we appreciate? What an ask. Now, I go around, and I'm not bragging when I'm saying that. I'm just telling you what I do. And I ain't anybody, and don't claim to be anybody. But the bottom line is, the local congregation here, when we have people come to these meetings, do we thank the out-of-towners for coming? Do we say, I'm glad you're here? I appreciate you being here. Do you tell the ministers that? Do you tell them, I appreciate you coming? I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I appreciate you praying and the Lord giving you a burden to come. Do we thank them? What about the cooks in the kitchen? Do we thank them for what they do? What about the dishwashers, the lowly dishwashers? Do we thank them for washing the dishes? I don't do the best job of it, so to speak, but a lot of what I do around the house, since basically I'm retired now, is I wash dishes.
Thank the Lord.
And Paige washes dishes some, Molly does, but I try to do it, and I do other things too. I'm not saying I don't. That's not the only thing I do. But it's just a kind of a lowly thing. You stand there and your back gets to hurting and you're washing plate after plate and glass after glass and so forth. I'm going to tell you, what we wash in our house ain't nothing compared to what they wash here. All the big pans, little pans, and in between pans. I wash plates like this. I wash some pans a little bigger than that. But the bottom line, folks, they got some pans in there and pots and stuff that's pretty good size. That's not easy to work with, so to speak. You got to wash and wash and wash to get it done. Do we thank them for it? Do we thank them for what they do? All right, let's see here. It said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. We owe a constant debt of thanksgiving to God. Brethren, on your behalf, we have good reason for it. Because that your faith groweth exceedingly, because your faith is growing abundantly, because your faith is greatly enlarged. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And because, without exception, your love for one another is continually increasing. And your love for one another exceeds all measure. And the love you have, each for all and all for each, grows even greater. Listen, thank the Lord for the Church of God this morning. Thank the Lord for the ministers. Thank the Lord for the trustees. Thank the Lord for all the workers, praise God. The singers. I love good singing. And I was last night trying to encourage some young folks that I know can sing. I said, we'll be glad for you to have a song for us. Do you ever do that? Listen, folks, we need to encourage our young people. I was young one time. I started 18. And I appreciate the support and the help of the Church of God down through the years. But the bottom line is, we need to thank and we need to say, hey, we want you. We love you. We're one of you and you're one of us, praise God. We should love and appreciate. Listen, there's a lot of people that would like to have what we've got and they don't know where we're at.
That's right.
Lord, help us to say thank you, Church of God. Thank you. Show the love. Show the pity. Show the compassion to one another. Oh, the day. Let's go to Colossians 2 and 6 through 9. Colossians 2, 6 through 9. We're getting down to my point. Just hold with me a little bit. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding. Abounding therein with what? What? What does it say here? Where's my Bible readers? Abounding in what? Thanksgiving. Abounding. Not a little bit. Thank you, Lord. But thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Abounding in thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now then, it said here, rooted and built, well, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Now then, how do we get rooted? How do we get built up? And how do we get established? Doesn't the Lord have a part in all of that? Now the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers, and that's part of it too. But the bottom line, folks, we are where we are because of Jesus. We are right here. We become rooted and grounded and settled in the things of God, established in the things of God. Listen, he works day and night. He's dealing with people all around the world while we're sleeping. And he's teaching them and opening things up to them and working with them day and night, helping them and helping us, praise God, to get what we've got, to be able to live for God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for that. All right, it said, and it said, you have been taught abounding in thanksgiving. Let's see what this says right here. Abounding in thanksgiving. I don't have that written down on this particular scripture, but let's see what this says here. If I can get back to it. Overflowing with gratitude. That's not bad. Overflowing with gratitude toward the Lord, toward one another. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. You know, they have tutors. And tutors go in and help students. College, high school, maybe others too. And they work with them. They spend hours helping them. Well, that's good. But how many hours has Jesus spent with us? How many times has he dried our tears? How many times has he laid hands on us and blessed us? Listen, folks, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I've had Jesus come down. 3 o'clock, I've had him come down and touch me, encourage me, comfort me, heal me, and bless me. Don't we owe him some thanksgiving?
Yes.
Sister Joyce Cunningham, I don't like to name names much, but this is positive. I was having problems one time when I was Pastor Shawnee. My shoulder, back, something. Anyway, I was about 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. I was in trouble. And all of a sudden it changed. Thank you, Lord. I got to talking to her later. She said, what night was that? And I told her. What time was it? And I told her. She said, I was praying for you at that time.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Jesus done the work, but one of our congregational members were praying. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And so I know the ministers get calls and texts maybe through the night for prayer and so forth. And that's what we're there for. 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, all kind of times. But the bottom line is, Jesus is working all the time.
Amen.
He never takes a vacation.
Yes.
He never takes a day off. He never goes to sleep. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Listen, that's 24/7.
Amen.
That we can come in, knowing because we're his child that we can come with confidence and present our needs to him on the throne no matter what it is, praise God.
Yes.
And he can help us. He can bless us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's get down to the what I call the meat, my meat of this message. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then 1 Peter 5 and 10, it said, and every man, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to one another as good stewards of the manifest grace of God. I'm reading the wrong chapter. No wonder it ain't reading right. I learned years ago, if you read the right place, it'll read right. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. All right. My burden lies in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. In everything give thanks. In everything. In everything. In everything. I want us to get that down. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Every one of us have a life with God. Every one of us is different. We all look different. Some's big, some's small, some's tall, some's short, some male, some female, old, young, whatever. But we all have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's working with every one of us and taking our lives and working to establish and settle and help us in every way through our lives. Now then, there's going to be some things that are some real blessing. But we're going to have some things we're going to go through that ain't quite so pleasant. Amen? Amen. I've been through a few of them. And Lord, help us that whether it's light and easy or whether it's long and hard, Lord, help us to say thank you. Thank you. I have shed many tears at times. I'm just going to start into my list. Heartbreak. Young people, there is a chance that you will have a heartbreak with a boy or a girl in your experience and in your life. Yeah. I've been there, done that. I've shed tears horrendously. Couldn't sleep at night. Had one of the older saints right here in Guthrie. She's gone now, a minister. And she took time out of her schedule because her husband had divorced her and left her. And she knew what I was going through on a lighter scale than she did because I'd never been married to this person. But the bottom line was she took time out of her life to write me a 6-page letter to give me some things to help me. Praise God.
Thank the Lord.
And I thank the Lord for that letter. I thank the Lord for her. We worked together. We've done well together through the years. And I admired her highly. But young people, you're going to have some heartbreaks. And it's not maybe with a male or a female, but there's going to be some other heartbreaks, so to speak, that you may have. And it's not going to be simple or easy. But the bottom line is the Lord is trying to work with you to get you to heaven and help you. And consequently, he wants us to say thank you. Thank you for that heartbreak. There have been people that maybe wanted a house. I read, and I didn't read all of it, but they said that there is people right now that is hunting for houses. Last fall, we put Molly Ann's place on the market in South Carolina. Brother there in Sepulpa, my old buddy, he helped us get a realtor down there. And I appreciate what he done. She was a fine woman. She come out and she started working with us. And she told me, she said, Carl, you want to know why it's the market is like it is right now? Part of it. It's not only COVID, but and it's not only the interest, but she said, normally at this time in the fall, we have 5,500 listings of homes. She said, right now we have 1,700. Now, can you imagine the difference? And this little piece I read the other day said there is a lot of people in their house hunting. I guess you could use the word has had heartbreaks because they thought they was going to get one and didn't get it and cried over it. They said they flat shed tears because they didn't get the house down the block around the corner. That's painful. There's going to be times maybe you want a car and you can't have it. You get your heart set on things and you want it. Maybe there's a job. Now, these are a type of heartbreak that, in a sense of the word, that hurts, and they're very painful. They can cause you to lose sleep. They can cause you to cry a lot of tears. And the bottom line, it's not easy, but the Lord wants you and I in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything that touches us, Christ has a part of. And He leads and He guides and He directs, and you and I may not know all about it, but let me tell you, Lord, help us to say thank you, Jesus, anyway. Heartbreak. Sickness. The establishment and the settling and the deepening in every way, the rooting and the grounding, a lot of it comes through hard sickness. It does things for you and I that other things won't do. And I'll be honest with you, I have dealt with my leg problems for years. It's gotten worse, and gradually worse as I got older. And last night was not the best night. I've got a wonderful room, and everything has gone real good, but last night wasn't the best night. But Lord, help me and you to be thankful for our sicknesses. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. When I went through my sickness in 1987, there was people flat called me and wrote me and said, why are you at 34 years old having to go through this? Why? I didn't know myself. Brother Clifford Wilson come out to Green Bank. He had married his second wife, and he had come out there because she was going to help in the school. And she told him, he said, not a problem. I'll just go along. And he did. I'm glad he did. And he told me one day, he said, Brother Carl, he said, this is going to be like pictures. That's not the word he used. What's those deals? We don't have them now. But anyway, it's going to, your life in this is going to be in squares. You're working and of the things you're going through. And he said, there's going to be times that as you go along, he said, you're going to pull up one of these and look at it and remember what you go through. Greater words could not have been said. I'm going to tell you, that set me to be a pastor, and at that point I had no idea I was going to pastor. Matter of fact, a certain brother wrote me a letter and told me that I was going to be pastor of the Guthrie congregation, and I wrote him back and let him know there ain't no way. I didn't want it. And I wasn't interested in it. And he said, you're going to be the pastor. Well, I got here, and the Lord started. The reason he had never dealt with me is because I physically was not able to handle it. But when he saw I was able, he started dealing. And then I called my dear brother Leslie, and I told him what the Lord had showed me. He said, yes, sir, I already know. Said, the Lord's already showed me, and he showed this one, and he showed that one, that you're going to be the pastor of this congregation. Never pastored in my life. Largest congregation among the saints. And I thought, woo. But do you know that sickness? I have used that exactly like Brother Clifford said. There have been people that have been suffering pain, and I can climb in their bucket with them, so to speak, and say, I understand what you're suffering. Because I went through this and this and this and this. I had so many different things in my sickness through my body that it taught me so much. Even down to rolling on the floor in so much pain, I couldn't hardly stand it. And Brother and Sister Williams and Rebecca praying for me. And the Lord touched me. I'm going to tell you, it's valuable, folks. Our sicknesses can help you help other people. It can help you have compassion on other people. It can help you have pity on other people. I'm going to tell you today, you need to go through sicknesses as we go through life. These things can be a real blessing, and we need to say thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
How about a home burn? Now, I've never lost a home in a fire. And this would be a major loss. There was somebody in Louisiana had a minister told that lost her home a number of years ago. That was before you was there, Brother Ed. And they lost their home, and I don't think they had a dime's insurance. I don't know much about that, but if I remember right, he said they didn't have any insurance. They were homeless. I mean, you have a home one day, and the next day you don't have anything. That would be hard. And the Lord started working. And he started having people send money in, more money, and maybe this and that and the other, till they had a home back that was as nice or better than the first one they had, and it was totally paid for when it was all done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Those things can be hard blows. But Lord, help us to see that God is trying to help us to deepen our experience to a depth that we've never been before. Listen, folks, if we want to get deeper in Jesus, we're going to have to go through the tough things to get there. It ain't always going to be a cold or a headache or a sore throat. It's going to be some tough stuff that makes us get on our knees and beg him day and night, so to speak. And then we'll begin to get deeper and deeper and deeper. All right, a car accident. They're not here. But Brother Jerry and Sister Marshall went through a bad one. And there's been others that have gone through some bad car wrecks. And the Lord spared their life, but they lost a car. They had broken bones. They had all kinds of different things they had to deal with for weeks and months. My nephew Earl, he might say, Lord, why? He didn't deliberately go out and hit this woman or let her hit him. The bottom line was he could not do anything to miss her. He tried. He did not want to hit her. But they got together. And he's been in a bed. And he said, Carl, it's like a 3x7 box 24 hours a day. That would be tough. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've got something in this. Help me to get the depth out of it that you want me to get so I can be a blessing to other people. Listen, folks, this life is not about us. This life is helping souls. This life is encouraging, uplifting and blessing and helping. And you say, well, yeah, you preachers. No, it's about everybody, praise God, that gets in the box with somebody and says, I love you and I'm here for you and I understand you and I'm praying for you. One time Rebecca had a spell when she was sick, and I had certain ministers that I was texting if we needed prayer, special prayer, and I had the caregivers, and God was doing a wonderful work. But one day she was having trouble, and I texted them, and nothing happened. She said, do it again. I said, no, Rebecca, I said, do it again. I'm still hurting. Please do it again. She didn't get sharp with me, but she went firm with me. Do it again. That didn't get us any relief. And she's, guess what she said the third time? Do it again. And I texted the third time, and I was a little embarrassed to text them. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, within about 30 minutes, I was just one text right after another. And after the third time, next thing Rebecca Ann and I knew, we both had been asleep for a good while and woke back up, and she was doing better. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, ministers. Amen. Thank you, saints. Yes. Oh, today. All right, now let's go the opposite direction. Let's go about somebody being blessed by a new home, a new car, a motor home, or a better job. The devil likes to do everything he can to bring any kind of envy or jealousy in among people. That's right. That's part of his job. The Lord gets to blessing somebody, and if there can be some other people in the congregation that, boy, they're on fire, but I ain't getting a blessing like that. Well, Lord help us. What would you do if you had been wanting another home for quite a while, and all of a sudden somebody in the congregation got one and you didn't get it? Could you say thank you? Right now, we've had people among the church of God that have sold their houses and expected to rebuy, and it went quite a while, and I know one case, he still hadn't got a home. He said, well, we decided to downsize. I told Molly, Molly and I talked about some of this. I said, well, baby, here's what I would do. If I could, I would pay my house off where I would have liberty to borrow it with no problem. I would go out and buy the house first and then sell mine second. That way you and I ain't sleeping in a travel trailer. That just terrifies my mind. The thought of it would cut my legs right now. So consequently, there is people that get new homes. And maybe you've never had a new home. Maybe you want a new home, but you don't get one. Can we thank God for what we got?
Amen.
Somebody says, well, I want a new car. Years ago, I wanted to buy a minivan. And the reason I wanted to buy a minivan is because I could haul more people to church. And the Lord blessed us to get a minivan. But there has been times that I didn't always get what I wanted. The Lord didn't give it to me. But I can still thank God I got a car. I can still thank God I got a pickup or whatever it might be. It might not be what I want. Some people, the old general said one time, he said if I got what I wanted, it'd be a Cadillac, it'd be bright red, and it'd have a lot of chrome all over it. But as far as I know, Brother Salmon never did have that. And there's been things I wanted, and I ain't got that neither. But I'm still thanking Jesus for the Santa Fe that Molly owns that I'm driving, and the van that's in my garage that I'm driving, my car. Oh, this morning, help us to be thankful. We're not always going to get what we want. We might want a steak dinner and have to have a bologna sandwich, but it's food, praise God. It's food. A motorhome. There's some people who like to have a motorhome and never do get it. And maybe somebody in the congregation gets a nice big one. Oh, Lord, help us to be thankful. There was a brother that had a travel trailer. This was a minister. This is years ago. I'm not going to name any names. And he had a travel trailer, and another minister wanted a travel trailer and wasn't able to get one. Well, the one that had one, somebody come along and give him another one. He had two. Well, I'm going to have to say, because these two ministers were close, that bothered the one that didn't have one. He's got two, and I've got none. And the devil worked on that a little bit. But he said, wife, he said, I tell you what we're going to do, baby. We're going to go over there and we're going to rejoice with them for two travel trailers.
That's right.
And that's what they did.
Right.
And you know what happened? The one that had two gave the other that had none one, and they both had one. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God.
A good attitude means a lot, folks. Having a good attitude towards everything means so much. A bad attitude can take us to hell. A good attitude can be a great blessing. A better job. I will name this old brother, Brother McCoy. During, I believe, the war, he needed a job, and the Lord gave him one at General Motors, if I remember right, or one of the car dealer factories, the car makers. And he said that there's many a time that they would come around, I think he called it, with pink slips, and was handing them out to everybody, and he'd go to praying. He'd say, Lord, you give me this job. I need this job. And he said, they never give me a pink slip. That one got it, that and got it, that and got it. He said, I just kept right on working. But there are some people, folks, that got the pink slip. They didn't get the raise. My nephew, bless his heart, he put out I don't know how many job applications for job. He went for days and weeks, and it was Carl praying and Molly praying and so forth, and we were praying and begging the Lord to help him. And everybody's saying, we need helpers. And Craig goes, they don't seem to need them too bad, Carl, because they ain't hiring. Said, they put the signs out there, we're hiring, but he said, right when it gets down to it, they really are not doing what they say they're doing, because you gotta have this much experience, you gotta have this, you gotta have that, and Corey didn't have it. And bless his heart, he was getting a little bit discouraged, and I imagine he probably was. But then, just before everything quit, he got one. And he got a pretty nice job. Oh, but then somebody comes along, and he gets a raise of $10 an hour, and he's doing better. Can we thank the Lord that I've got what I've got? He's got what he's got. She's got what her, she's got, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to thank the Lord and thank one another. Like I said, it was a real blessing. That minister said, well, I'm not going to sit here and be envious and jealous and so forth. We're just going to go over there and we're going to say, thank you. We're glad you got a new travel trailer. And everything turned out real well. Oh, Lord, help us today. Are we thankful as we ought to be? Let's go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. We'll be through here in a little bit. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want to read a translation on that. Be careful for nothing. In nothing be anxious. Let no care trouble you. Do not worry about anything and entertain no worry. Woo! One brother that used to be here told me, I don't know if I still pastor or not, but anyway, yeah, I guess it was. Anyway, he told me one day, he said, my wife is nothing but a worrywart. And he explained everything out to me, and I looked at him, I thought, she seems to be the most positive woman in the world. What are you talking about? But he said, she could worry about things and it just bother her. And this scripture here says, do not worry about anything. How many of us is doing that? Don't worry about anything. Be in nothing anxious. Let no care trouble you. Entertain no worry. And then it said, but by prayer and earnest pleading together with thanksgiving, let your requests be unreservedly made known before God. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, today, Lord, help us to thank God. When we're having trouble and problems, say thank you, Lord. Interject that in as we're going along, as we're approaching Him, as we're praying. 1 Corinthians 15:57. I'll be through here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How many spiritual victories would you get on your own? Now, I know we have to do something. I know that. But the bottom line is, Jesus is the one that is the victory giver. He is the one that helps us and strengthens us and does things. There's been times maybe you looked at such a situation and you didn't know what to do with it and you didn't know how you was going to get victory over it, and guess what? He come along and give you the very key and you took off with it. I've told the story many, many times about the time that I had unforgiveness for a number of people, and I tried and I tried and I tried to forgive them. And tried again and thought I had it done, just to find out I wasn't there. And I finally got to the place, I said, Lord, I said, you got the key. I got to have that key. You got to help me. I've got to have you to do it. Sister Catherine Williams, when she had lost her brother that was shot by his stepson in cold blood, she said that was hard. She said, I had to have the grace of forgiveness to forgive that man. And I needed that. and I couldn't get it. Listen, folks, you can forgive some things with no problem. I got news for you. You can go through some things that's hard enough. You can't forgive it without the help of the Lord. It's going to take that forgiveness, that grace of forgiveness. And when the Lord climbed in the van that morning, when I'd stopped at the midway point on the Will Rogers headed to Webb City, didn't have anybody but just me, and I don't know why, just me alone. But the Lord planned it that way, and he climbed in, and he started talking, and that key was mighty beautiful. And he told me exactly what to do, and when I done it, it worked perfect. When I got through, I had it, and I still got it, praise God. Still got that forgiveness for those people that done me wrong, one right after another. And then one of them had the gall to stand up and praise me one day over and over. I thought you need to be saying I'm sorry, but she's praising me instead. Well, I don't mind getting some praise, but the bottom line is, folks, listen, if we've done somebody wrong, we need to say, would you please forgive me? I didn't do you right. Get down there low. Get as low as you need to go to get what you need to get, and the Lord will bless that, praise God. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. Do you have the victory this morning? Is the Lord blessing you? Have you got power and authority? Are you doing exactly what the Lord would have you to do? Has he given you the key? Are you using the key? Listen, folks, if the Lord gives you, if a person gives you a key to a house and you don't use it, you ain't going to get in the door. So Lord, help us to use what he gives us. All right, let's finish in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God, which always. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you. Brother Austin Wilson was in a battle. He was going down a sidewalk, and in my mind, I don't know if this is totally, but he said it was pretty busy of people coming and going out of stores and stuff. So it reminded me of a holiday, Christmas maybe or whatever. And he was going to buy something. And he was going down there, and this was in his mind, and he was praying and looking to God and so forth. And he said he walking down, and he turned and he went in the door. And as he got over there, the Lord spoke to him. He said, child, I'm going to give you this victory just like I have all the other victories, praise God. And he did it. I'm going to give it to you. Listen, folks, it helps us to have a foundation of victories to lean on, to look at, to say, Lord, you have done this for me over and over. You've done this and that and the other. Listen, folks, if we never got any victories, we wouldn't have anything to look back on and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, today, he was an old timer, and the Lord was blessing him, and he had all this foundation of victory. Listen, folks, we need to go through some things so we'll have a foundation that's built of victory and power by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when we get into another battle, we can look back and go, yeah, get out of here, devil. Get on out of here. I don't want to have anything to you. Get on down the road. Shut your mouth. Because I know this victory and that victory. I know this one. You're telling me that the Lord's not going to bless me, but he's going to do it. I know he is. Which giveth us the victory. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us. Listen, folks, other people need to see our victories. Amen. We need to get up on Wednesday night and tell what the Lord has done for us. We need to tell that he give us victory. You might not have to do it all word for word of what you're going through, but let them know that Jesus has given you another victory. Yes. Listen, folks, there's coaches out there that like to win games. And they get this many games won and this one, and some of them has great amount of victories. Listen, Jesus has got more than anybody, praise God. And it's for you and I in the spiritual realm, the physical realm, and the glory realm, praise God. And Lord, help us to say thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Yes. When's the last time you told him you loved him? I was preaching out in a place here, I don't know, a while back. Been several months now, I guess I'd have to think a little bit. And anyway, I was talking about love. And I got through with the message, and a brother said, an old brother, he's older, quite a bit older than I am. He'd been a worker in the church for years. I've loved him, admired him and his wife and family, and worked with them. And he said, listen, I'm talking about telling your wife you love her. And he said, you know, I think I need to tell my wife I love her. I ain't told her that in a long time, several years. And I looked at him and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, I think you need to buy her a dozen roses to go with it. You need to let her know. Listen, folks, we need to let Jesus know that we love him. We appreciate him. We thank him for everything he does for us. We appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers. Pray for me. I appreciate it.